down to business. Let's get down to business, ladies and gentlemen. It is 18 minutes after 11, and I want to get into the business of the sports fraternity in Kenya in particular. And I'm very excited to be speaking to the Kenyan sports correspondent from Kenyan Broadcasting Corporation, Mr. Daniel Wahomi, who's going to share all things resumption of sports in Kenya. A very good and warm welcome to you, Mr. Daniel.
Thank you very much. It's been a long time. I've got to say a year and something since I got a call from Johannesburg.
Yes, we are back in full swing, and we are happy to be speaking to our favorite correspondents from all over the African continent. And of course, you are our favorite from Kenya. So that's why we had to bring you in today and to chat to you all things sports in Kenya. How are things in Kenya right now? Because we know that there was an announcement that was made. From your cabinet secretary of sports, Amina Mohamed, who said all outdoor recreation and non-contact sports activities will now restart.
Well, that decision was made last year, and that was around October. That's when the resumption of play protocols came into play. So a lot of sporting activities came back. Athletics happened. Events were allowed to happen. A little bit of, cycling sport. Water sports of any nature were not allowed. So we had football coming back, volleyball coming back. Hockey was to resume. We had Kenya play at three tests against Uganda. That's for the men's team and the women's team. The football team came back. We had our rugby, 15-a-side rugby league allowed to go on. There was some T20 cricket that came back. And then on the 26th of March, new measures were introduced to, try and control the third wave in 5 of the 47 counties in the country. Amongst the measures that were announced by President Uhuru Kenyatta was that the sport had to cease all across the country. So activity was stopped, and those who were given exceptions were national teams who needed clearance from the State Department for Sport and the Ministry of Health so that they could prepare for events that were there. So at the moment, no sporting activities. If you want to train, you train alone. That would be the case. So no team sports happening at the moment. So that's the situation we've got at the in the country right now. But as part of the resumption for sport, the Ministry of Health, the State Department for Sports, the National Olympic Committee of Kenya, and the federations under it have embarked on vaccination exercise for all people who are involved in the top leagues in the country, with a focus more on those who have got Olympic qualification or may have activities in the next 2 or so months. So that means the football team has been vaccinated, the rugby seven-side team, Shujaa, and the Kenya Lioness are being receiving their first dose of their vaccines today. That's the 13th of April. And it's a continuous process that's going on, so that within the 8 weeks or so that someone's supposed to receive the second jab, that may happen and sport may resume. And this is in a very controlled environment. So when you have your coronavirus tests done regularly, and also when you've got your vaccine, passport now ready to start. They've started creating it. Anyway, in Africa, vaccine passport isn't anything. The yellow fever certificate has been here forever. Your vaccination record, because it's being maintained by the Ministry of Health. So all those, all that information is being done. And let's see what happens over the next 2 weeks and see how sport can resume, because there was a momentum. It was on the app. No fans were allowed in the stadia yet, but it was picking up the momentum, and the sportsmen were really happy that there was action. But at the moment, everyone's back home training on their own.
So, okay, you mentioned a number of sporting codes. Okay, so at this present moment, who has been vaccinated?
I can tell you today we've got the Kenya Sevens team.
Okay.
I know those who are in cricket were there. So it's where the federations have been assigned particular days. I know those in cricket got their vaccines yesterday. Those in football happened on Saturday and Sunday, because that's a huge number. As for the athletes, they're based outside Nairobi, so that has got to be coordinated. So most of the athletes are outside Nairobi. Some received their vaccinations on Saturday. And so it's being done. It's a continuous process. It's not a single day event. So every day, as a particular federation presents their athletes. And there were those athletes who were training in a bubble, like the volleyball team. So also those are the women's volleyball team. And teams that are traveling for preparing for the Africa Club Championships, like Kenya Ports Authority, Kenya Prisons, and all that. So they are also getting their first jabs within this period. After that was organized by the Ministry of Health, the State Department for Sport, and the National Olympic Committee and affiliated federations.
So does this not deter also the progress or the preparations ahead of the Olympics?
What happened is that those teams that are preparing for the Olympics, since those who've qualified so far are known. So the Kenya Sevens men's and women's teams, so they actually even traveled. They had traveled just before the president made the announcement about the cessation of sport. But it hasn't. But they have got to continue training, and this is in a bubble format. So teams are getting clearance on an application by application basis. So those that have got international duty and commitments have already been made, they are allowed to train, but in a bubble. And that means if it's the 18 players in the Kenya Lionesses, then it's those players who are designated, get into the bubble, get tested, and that's how it's working. So, and that means if you're going for the Olympics, if you're an athlete, you have your program. We've got a team that has been selected to go for the World Relays in Poland. So that team has also been allowed to train in camp in a bubble format. So those are being allowed so long as you present proof and it can be confirmed independently that you're going for a particular championship, then that's a scenario.
And, so that means also there hasn't been much competition, but have your athletes been able to take part in competitions outside of the country with neighboring countries?
Yes, I've got to say that before the 26th of March, a lot was happening, and some athletes had already been given clearance. We saw the world record broken at the Istanbul Half Marathon, the women's race.
Yes,
64.02. There is Jepchirchir, Kibiwot Kandia, and Jeffrey Kamoror. Continuing with their rivalry. Helen Obiri, by the way, was also there, running at the Istanbul Half Marathon. And in Nigeria, there was an event known as the Making of Champions, and Ferdinand Omanyala clocked 10.01 seconds. That would be a national record in the 100 meters, yet to be ratified because he has previously been sanctioned for a doping offense. So he's still trying to sort out his relationship with Athletics Kenya. But athletes from the country have been able to travel out there. We had two athletes winning the GMN Marathon, and that was on Sunday. And that means over the Easter weekend and the weekend and Thursday, Friday, Kenya Sevens, both men's and women's teams, were in Dubai for the Emirates Invitational Sevens. So national teams have been participating in events outside of the country, and this is on a need-to basis. But the most important thing is those who are outside there, if you take a look at the profile of those running, are those who have got prospects of representing the country at the Olympics. That's how they've been given opportunities to, keep their competitive frame of mind.
Mm. Speaking of athletes that will be representing their country, we know that the Hamburg Marathon is taking place on the 18th of April, but no longer called the Hamburg Marathon because now it has changed location. So the NN running team announced on Tuesday that the NN Mission Marathon has been relocated to, I hope I'm saying it correctly, Enschede, the Netherlands. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. The race that was
you should be the one to pronounce Dutch words much easier than me. There's a lot of Dutch heritage in South Africa, but it's going to be at the Twente Airport.
Yes.
At the Netherlands. It's a closed loop circuit, and
yes,
this is going to take place on the 18th of April, the 20 airport in the Netherlands. And this was because the restrictions in Germany meant that they could not have that number of people running in that city. So the Netherlands had that opportunity. And then the people behind the event are actually a Dutch company who was sponsoring that. So they invited 70 athletes. And the key thing is, have these athletes prepare for the Tokyo Olympics. And there are those who have to qualify. It's easier. For example, Mexico's Madai Perez wants to qualify for an Olympic Games. And then there is Portugal's Jessica Augusto. She's one of the best runners I took up from that country. She's looking for a qualification time for the Olympics. 2 hours, 2.5 hours. That's a qualification time for the women. So they will be there trying to qualify together with Gladys Tashir. That's a Kenyan who's going to be running at the NN Mission Marathon. And definitely, I know you want to ask about Elliot Dutt. Elliot is part of the NN running team.
Yes. We want to know about Elliot, hey.
Yes. When the announcement was made that Hamburg could not host the marathon, and here's the story. Elliot's first win in a marathon came in Hamburg.
Yeah.
And he clocked 2:05, and he kept running under 2:05 consistently until the Olympics in 2016. You know, 2:08 was a championship race, so that, I mean, the time really doesn't matter. It's your podium place that matters. So Hamburg would have been, you know, some very important place for Eliud Kipchoge. That was way back in 2013. His second marathon was in Berlin. He finished second. No one seems to remember that he finished second to Wilson Kipsang when the record was broken. That was his second marathon before, you know, moving on to Rotterdam, winning it, and then Chicago, and the story continues about, you know, the invincibility. So he's there, lost in London in last October, suffered some, you know, blocked here, couldn't keep, you know, disturbed him, finished eighth. So he's looking at an event to help him warm up for the Olympics. And the Netherlands, at times he considered it his second home, maybe when he's off season before getting back into training. So that's one place that he really would love to entertain people. So on Sunday, the 18th of April, at the 20 airport, would like to see what goes on, because if they're using an airport, it simply means that their travel won't be, air travel is quite restricted to very few places. And it's going to be quite an interesting event. Let's see. The target time, not the fastest by elite standards, 2:07, for somebody who's done 2:04 as some 2:04 consistently. And let's see how that goes down. Two of his good friends will be pacing him. Victor Chumo, he paced him at Monza when he attempted the first breaking 2 event, and then the Ineos Challenge, Ineos 159 Challenge, he was also there. And there's also a very good runner in the name of Philemon Rono. They call him Baby Police. You know, he's actually a cop, yes, a real one.
Oh.
They call him Baby Police. He's also going to be pacing him. And Philemon Rono is a good marathon runner. He can hold his own fort, but he's going to be pacing Elliot in 20 on Sunday.
I can imagine how Elliot is feeling about this, because he said that he's excited to go back to where it all began. And he says, in Hamburg, I'm going back to the genesis of my marathon career. And I mean, that for him, it must have that nostalgic feeling of where it all kick-started, where his name was put on the map. But at the same time, you know, I would imagine that there's also that bit of pressure to live up to, you know, to your name, because now people are anticipating to see you, the one person who came here, broke records, your name was put on the map, and yet you are coming back and you're headlining, you know, this particular race. I can imagine that there's also those bit of nerves and that bit of pressure as well to kind of live up to the hype as well.
Well, for Eliud Kipchoge, what many people do not know is that he's got a philosophy that you take one event at a time and as it comes, and he knows what he needs to do. He knows his body. After London, he says, yes, the human body acts this way and can't just decide to lock up on you. His threshold for pain is very high, by the way.
Sure.
Not many athletes would have completed that London marathon. I mean, the 2 loops or so that he did, the kind of pain that he had. And it's only people like his physiotherapist who'd talk who actually would tell you about his threshold for pain. Number two, his mental strength is out there. And if you listen to him speak all the time, he gets philosophical. He says that if you do not control your mind will control you. So that's a philosophy he lives by, actually, even in real life. So he is that person who's so focused on every project that he does. If you go to their training camp in Kaptagat, that's run by Global Sports Organization, he's got his days when he's scheduled to clean the bathrooms. And failing to do that is worse than failing to show up for a training session. So that's the kind of rules that they live by at that camp. And that's how you'd see, you know, Jeffrey Kamworor is also from that camp. Haim Kiyang is from that camp. Beatrice Chepkoech is part of the NN running team. So if you look at the whole setup and the athletes who come from there and the kind of discipline that they have, then you would fully understand why they perform at the highest level.
Did you say cleaning toilets?
Yes, cleaning the bathrooms and the facilities where they do shower and the toilets and all that. Everyone has their day to clean that place. It does, and I'm talking about millionaires here.
Sure.
So that's something that shocked so many people, but that's the way it works.
But and that means if you don't show up there, then you haven't even showed up on the track at all.
You haven't that is punishable, and there's a way they do it because they say we are here as a team, we train as a team, we live as a team. You've left your families at home. They've got their good homes, their families there, but 5 days a week, you're living there with these people, so they ensure that the place is in the best condition possible.
That is absolutely incredible. But that also kind of speaks to then the humble nature, because they understand that sometimes money and fame can get to your head and success, but this is a way for them to kind of bring them back and still keep them humble. And it's incredible that even at the height of his success, he still cleans toilets, because for him, it's about discipline and showing up. That is incredible, Wami. Sure.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, and when you tell people that, people don't believe it. It is until that you visit the camp and you realize that there is a duty roster for everyone. They do it for a month, and you're designated. So on the 15th, it's going to be Daniel. On the 16th, it's going to be Liam. On the 17th, it's going to be somebody else. That's the way it works. And so there, the women clean their section of their facilities. The men clean the section of the facilities. So, and that's basically how they do it.
Sure. Well, Ame, thank you so much for chatting to us. It was absolutely incredible speaking to you, Mr. Daniel. Thank you for breaking all things down for us. Looking forward to speaking to you very, very soon, particularly probably after the marathon. We're going to break down who won, the winners, the times. I know you're going to be very excited to be chatting all about that.
Oh, yes. Sure enough. I'll definitely be available next week and keep the vibes going.
Thank you so much, Daniel. Cheers.
Cheers.
That was Kenyan sports coach. Yay. Oh, okay. Let's take that again. Okay, that was the Kenyan sports correspondent from the Kenyan Broadcasting Corporation, Mr. Daniel Wahome, who just broke down all things Kenyan sports, the resumption of sports, the testing of athletes and, the vaccination process, as well as the preparations for the Olympics and the Hamburg Marathon that is now renamed to the... What is it renamed to? It's renamed to the Hey, Liam, I can't pronounce this thing. Enschede. In the Netherlands. Enschede. Come, Liam. Enschede. What is it?
Enschede.
Liam says Enschede. Liam is my producer. So if my producer says it's Enschede, then it's Enschede. If Enschede people come and say it's not Enschede, just know it's not me who said Enschede, but it's Liam Marconi who said I must say Enschede because he's my producer and he put it on the running order. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, cheers. Bye.